That's fascinating. Now, in the HER2 study, which is up and running?
No, that was one of the meetings that I was talking about, because it has really been trying to bring everything together. And also, as the new information from lapatinib comes in, cardiac safety. So now we have a lot more cardiac safety. So we have a greater comfort level about using this combination.
Because what you're describing sounds like what the NSABP wants to do also. The chemo backbone, I think, might be different. But the whole concept of lapatinib versus trastuzumab versus the combination neoadjuvantly, I think they're interested in also.
Right.
That makes a lot of sense.
Right. It does. Because as we've heard more and more from the media, although many have suggested, oh, the lapatinib is going to replace trastuzumab, I don't think it's going to be a replacement, because if you look at some of our most successful antibiotics, they block the pathway at two different points. You know, Bactrim, crummy two drugs, put them together, great drug. And so I think probably we'll be using these agents together. And so I think, you know, these trials are really exciting because our thinking has evolved.
Another thing about this HER2 study, neoadjuvant study, what are you going to do post-op in terms of, I guess, the next year, so to speak?
So the beauty of these studies in the community setting, although it's somewhat complex in terms of tissue acquisition, is that we adhere to standards of recognized care. So the objectives are get the tissue, give good chemo, maintain compliance with the lapatinib, which is an oral regimen, and the trastuzumab, that's easy, do surgery, and then after that, it is standard of care, which means we'll continue Herceptin for an additional 6 months with standard of care medicine and standard of care monitoring of the cardiac, et cetera.
6 months or a year?
Well, the chemotherapy will be 6 months.
Oh, so the 6 months pre-op.
Out back, 6 months will be
so
a completion.
So it's a total of year.
Completing 1 year.
Which I think people can live with, but the... Well, I think now we're calling it the trial formerly known as Aphrodite. I think now it's called Alto or something, because Aphrodite had been used by somebody else. They have an arm in there where I think they don't get trastuzumab. They get lapatinib, and I'm wondering whether people are going to be comfortable with that. Would you be comfortable with a trial like that?
Looking at the activity of lapatinib, I would be comfortable with that. I think the key thing about lapatinib, it's 5 to stay alive. It is 5 pills. They are 250 milligrams, and they are rather large-sized orange pills that are about the same size as a capecitabine pill, which is a large-sized tablet. And they're looking to see if it can be dissolved, because there are a minority of women who cannot swallow pills. So compliance is the main issue.
You mentioned Jenny Chang, and she reported same thing, 3-week run-in period of trastuzumab, and then adding chemotherapy, she saw significant clinical partial response rates. We saw here at San Antonio the very first presentation, inflammatory breast cancer, lapatinib, 2 weeks of lapatinib, they had about, I think, 30% partial response rate. So these agents seem to work very quickly.
Yet it's the whole concept of the target. And if you can find the target, and if the target is as advertised, so that there's not some other mutation or hypomethylation or something that shields the target from your targeted agent, that's where, you know, that's what makes San Antonio so exciting, is you come here. I told someone, you know, it's like Desperate Housewives, it's like desperate doctors. We're coming here with all these patients in the back of our mind trying to find answers for every single patient. And that's the exciting thing. As we can subdivide, personalize our medicine, we can find the targets. There's a lot of people that have targeted agents for us.
Any hunch about whether HER2 is going to turn out to be fundamentally different than other kinds of targets? I've heard people talk about the fact, well, maybe the HER2 tumors, maybe it might end up being different than other kinds of targets because they're so dependent on HER2.
I think what we've come to understand is the concept of oncogene addiction. And so there are some tumors that are highly addicted to their one central pathway that led them wrong, you know, down the line of tumorigenesis. And I think HER2 represents a spectrum.